clear and luminous mystery, the proclamation of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins,
save us from the fires of hell,
feed all our souls to heaven,
especially those who most need thy mercy.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And ye shall renew the face of the earth.
Let's pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and to ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Abide in me, and I in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. So we all have an interior sanctuary within our soul. Some parts are concerned with exterior things, the coming and the going, agendas, resolutions, plans, projects, homework, whatever. And other parts are concerned more with the very worship of God, like in a church. The presence of God is always in the tabernacle, where he abides. And we can call this the heart. We all have parts of our souls where the Holy Spirit dwells or lives. Jesus dwells in this inner sanctuary within you. So God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to be in a state of grace. Right? If we lose a state of grace, some authors have described it like removing the Blessed Sacrament on Good Friday. Gone. Or we could even say, you know, having the Ark of the Covenant robbed from the Hebrew from the Israelites. If you are baptized in a state of grace, the presence of God is there within you, before this retreat, during this retreat, after this retreat. You recall yesterday how, if I fail to acknowledge the real presence in the tabernacle, another faithful Catholic will come and supply for my negligence. And we also heard that without devotion to the real presence of God within our souls, there can be no full realization of one's spiritual life, which is essentially an interior life. Finally, we heard that before the Eucharistic presence of our Lord, the real presence within our soul, when we pray before the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the real presence within our soul is nourished and there's a greater realization. And as Jesus is present in the tabernacle of the church, so he's also present within our hearts. So this is a call for devotion to Jesus within. It's a radical statement. You recall how during adoration we make a double knee genuflection. Although there's nothing in the rubrics about that, but it's kind of the custom, right? We put incense. All of this is what happens when we adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. But here's the key to a fruitfulness of this time of prayer and this retreat. Do you want an incredible fruitfulness in all that you do for the Lord? In your ministry, do you want always to keep the Lord on the forefront of your thoughts and of your mind, of Jesus on your lips, so that you don't forget that it is his work in all that you do? That we have to abide with the Lord. What does it mean, then, of course, to live in his presence? Father Moynihan gives three concrete, practical ways to abide in the presence of God. Continuing a little bit of what we talked about yesterday, it is, so to speak, a way of life. And some people have described it as practicing the presence of God. There's an image in our church in Washington, D.C., in St. Dominic's, and it's got St. Dominic holding the Eucharist, and then Jesus is right behind him, and he's kind of looking over his shoulder a little bit. And the way that they're placed, both of them have the same heart. It's a beautiful kind of image that I think could be helpful for us to meditate upon, the heart of Jesus. And you, of course, know that beautiful little devotional prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. But also, unite my prayer to yours. So the first thing that Father Moynihan mentions, and he talks about, he says we have to defend the sanctuary. All day long, we are bombarded by things that assault the sanctuary, so to speak. 1 Peter chapter 2, stay sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him solid in your faith. We must resist those natural appetites which besiege the soul. So what are those things? Such as temptations. Okay, they might be conversations that may not be good, internet, music, the way people dress sometimes, right? There could be ideas introduced into our mind through demons or whatever the case is. We have to guard the sanctuary. The temptations come, we can't stop them, but we have to notice them and then turn to the Lord and to take flight from them and make an act of humility. Lord, I cannot do this. I don't consent to this. My passions are all over the place. When we do consent, the sanctuary, the church, becomes defaced. Right? So we have to resist these temptations. The second thing that can cause problems for us in defending the sanctuary are distractions. It's funny because frequently when you're a priest, when you hear confessions, people frequently say to you, they'll say, you know, I was distracted in prayer. And it's like, I'm always like, and of course I used to always say, okay, well, that's not your fault. I mean, what do you mean you're distracted in prayer? It's like, but Blaise Pascal believed that we systematically use distractions as a psychological mechanism so as not to face the real issues in our life. Isn't that interesting? So sometimes we can just kind of go with distractions. We let everything distract us constantly, and we don't deal with that which we need to deal with. or it might be, you know, to face something difficult in our life that we haven't, you know, kind of buried things. So we throw ourselves into distractions sometimes. So yeah, it can be simple, I suppose, you know, that you entertain every distraction that comes to you, you know. These things are not bad in themselves, but they can all be abused, right? I knew of a guy who refused to be in a room without music playing in the background. Every time he was in his room, turn the music on. Okay? A Catholic novelist from the 20th century by the name of George Bernanos, this is what he says. He says, you understand nothing about modernity unless you understand that it is one giant conspiracy against the interior life. Isn't that interesting? You understand nothing about modernity, these are not the exact words, he said something like this. You understand nothing about modernity unless you understand that it is one gigantic conspiracy against the interior life. Isn't that amazing? To imagine that anything but the interior life, you know? So we must seriously moderate the use of certain things that we do, right? Media and such. I remember back when I was growing up, when the stats were, I was throwing stats out about how many hours a day people watch TV, and it was just like staggering. Of course, now that's all been replaced with the internet. And what if only half of that time was spent praying? So, you know. And then, of course, some of the old time writers used to, they write about useless thoughts, right? So these are other things, kind of distractions. So anyway, number one, defend the sanctuary. That's what we do. And then the second thing that Moynihan speaks about is to enter the sanctuary. So defend the sanctuary, enter the sanctuary. So we have to actually go into our heart, to turn inward, so to speak, not to look at yourself, but to seek the face of God within, to seek God, to search for the Lord, to withdraw from the senses. How often do we do this? Think about it. We do it during times of holy hour, times of prayer, mass, but do I do it throughout the day? So I think we should do it throughout the day. We have to develop a habit of prayer, of going within, to seek Him all the time throughout the day. There's a great author, Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. You should try to read some of the stuff that she's written. She was radically transformed by a sense of God within. And she writes about constantly gazing on God. She had a tremendous devotion to the divine indwelling, actually. We can say, well, this might be easy for a cloistered Dominican nun, right? So, but St. Catherine of Siena was able to do it also. The saint of Rome and the saint of Tuscany. If you look at her writings, she really desired, actually, to be a contemplative. She wanted just to pray all day. In fact, the Lord allowed her to be kind of like a hermitess for a while, where she basically lived in her parents' house underneath the stairway. So she just prayed all day. That's what she did. And she had this deep desire to be close to the Lord and just to withdraw from the world. But eventually the Lord told her that this is not what I've got planned. I'm informing you, but you need to go out. You're going to go out. And He taught her how to never leave her spiritual self and still serve the victims of the plague. So Catherine did incredible things, incredible apostolic activities. She, you know, the corporal works of mercy. She dealt with people who were dying of the plague in Siena. But she wrote about entering the cell of self-knowledge. She talks about that. Now, obviously, self-knowledge for St. Catherine of Siena was not, you know, kind of pop psychology, you know. It's like, to know yourself and to understand, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses, all this kind of stuff. Those things can be helpful. But the self-knowledge that Catherine of Siena is talking about, the cell of self-knowledge, is to understand that you are made in the image and likeness of God, precious in His eyes, made to love and to be loved, and that we cannot consider any of our sinfulness except under the aspect of God's mercy and His deep love for us. So to behold God, Catherine wrote, build yourself a spiritual cell which you can always take with you. You will find there also the knowledge of God's goodness to you. There are only two cells in one, and if you live in one, you must also live in the other. So she was able to kind of be this, you know, contemplative kind of active person, you know. She was able to always kind of keep, to behold the presence of God within her soul, but also to be attentive to people. It sounds odd, but Catherine was able to do it. She uses different language, of course, but the two cells, the cell of her soul and the cell of the world, they are really one. She shows that it is possible to be in the world and also to behold God. Almost a kind of being present to the world and being present to God simultaneously. Father Moynihan, on the other hand, is speaking about consciously entering the sanctuary throughout the day, to turn inward and to enter the sanctuary throughout the day, wherever you are, to give homage and adoration to the Lord throughout the day, to make a specific intention to enter and to simply turn inward and to acknowledge the presence of God. So, the first thing, defend the sanctuary. The second thing, to consciously enter the sanctuary. And the third thing that Father Moynihan says, he talks about adorning the sanctuary. Okay? You adorn the sanctuary with noble thoughts. So, Philippians chapter 4, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Beautiful passage. So let your interior life be filled with what is good and what is true. And then his life will grow within you. And so with the sanctuary of your soul, when your sanctuary your soul is filled with these beautiful things, beautiful thoughts, then the presence of God begins to grow. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus tells us, and St. Paul tells us, all over the place. We do this on feast days, of course. Of course, we've seen an extraordinary example of Christmas decorations in the Christmas season here. So there's decorations everywhere, right? That's amazing. So, but we do this on feast days, especially Easter, Christmas, in churches. You can see all the decorations here in the sanctuary. But we can also do this within our soul, with little acts of prayer, one-liners, so to speak. Jesus, I trust in you. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I praise you. Jesus, save this sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. So, a conversation, so to speak, to talk to the persons of the Blessed Trinity with them, to become familiar with the way that the Lord, that the Spirit inspires us to pray and to speak to the persons of the Trinity within. Every time you do this, it's like putting a flower or a poinsettia in the sanctuary, right? You develop a habit of doing this. The more that you enter the sanctuary, and you speak to the Lord, praise you, Lord. So, you know, we need to, throughout the day, we need to decorate the sanctuaries of our soul, right? We need to move out, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. You know, so this is what you do. It becomes a conversation with the Lord. Then there's an insight which I think Father Moynihan talks about, which I find pretty fascinating, and I've shared this with some of you already. So you know that conversation that you have within you. Okay, now I have to do this. Okay, when I finish this retreat, I have to get all those things done. You know, I didn't call my mother or whatever the case is, or oh, now I got to do this. You know, you have this conversation that kind of runs within you. You know, as you know, throughout the day, you know, of course, we have to, the question is, who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself, right? This line is too long. I have to get food. Let me check my phone. You know, that conversation that we have all the time. It's fundamentally lonely, and it's pretty boring, right? So, well, Father Moynihan says something that I think is pretty profound. That conversation that runs through your mind all the time, not all the time, but that from time to time, it like dominates what you're doing. That conversation conversation is an effect of the fall. Isn't that interesting? So it's not the way it's meant to be that we would have this conversation with ourselves all the time. It's an effect of original sin, basically. The human psyche is not designed that way by God. We are not designed to be talking this way to ourselves, to be lonely. That conversation with ourselves must die and be replaced with the conversation with God who dwells within. So that when we wake up in the morning, you know, I have all this to do today. I don't want to do this. I have that class. I don't like that professor. I don't like that monk. I'm just kidding. So I have to do all this reading so we can, you know, but this all has to be transformed, you know, into a conversation with God. Jesus, we have to go to the library now and do some research. Lord, I have to go meet that person here, you know. Lord Jesus, let's go to lunch, you know. Boy, Lord, I'm hungry. Help me out, you know. What is it, Lord, that's going to please you in this conversation that I have with this brother? Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me. I need the Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, I praise you. Thank you. Thank you for being present in the Eucharist. Thank you for giving me yourself in this Mass today. So the conversation that is boring and self-centered, so to speak, all about us, has to be turned towards the Lord. And the things that concern us, we allow the Lord to be a part of that. Right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you know, St. Paul talks about praying always, and of course, you know, I've always thought about that. It's like, how in the world can you pray always? Well, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. The presence of God is within, and your conversation with God within throughout the day. This is how we pray always. The conversation with yourself is gradually transformed into a conversation with God. So the more that you make an attempt to practice this conversation with the persons of the Trinity, or Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, the Father, then gradually this conversation that we have with ourselves is replaced. And a deeper sense comes over us gradually that the Lord is with us. You may say, wow, that's impossible. But I can tell you, I live with Dominicans, and I'm sure that there's a few monks like this too at the Abbey, that the monks could probably attest to it. There are people that are able to do this. It's amazing, you know, like we have. So, now sometimes with one of our friars in particular that I'm going to tell you about, he teaches moral theology at the Dominican House of Studies, but he's a man that's always speaking to the Lord. You can see it, you know, like, and little words will just kind of spill out in what he says, you know? So like, you know, you're passing the bread down the table and he's going, oh, the bread of life, you know? Or, you know, sometimes he's in a debate with the Lord talking about something that he has to do. So he's walking down the cloister walkway and he's all, no, Lord, no, 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 no. Okay, yes, Lord, yes. He's like, what in the world is going on over here with this guy? Anyway, but he's like having this conversation. Story that happened with one of our brothers is that he at night the chapel goes, we turn all the lights out and everything, you know, and some people are in there praying. And so one brother walked in and sat down praying, you know, in the dark night of the chapel, and just, you know, but this priest, he was in the back, and then out of nowhere, he hears these words of, you know, of course, he also speaks to the Blessed Virgin Mary as well, you know, and he says, just out of nowhere, he says, you are so beautiful. And he's like, and of course, the friar was in there, he's like, I'm out of here. I think, you know, so we can do it also with the Blessed Virgin Mary, also we can talk with her as well. She's also with us. But the Lord dwells within our soul. And so I think it's important for us to have that constant conversation with the Lord. We have to guard the inner sanctuary, enter the inner sanctuary, and adorn the inner sanctuary. Increasingly more and more. This is a way of life. It's practicing the presence of God. And there's lots of books written about this and how to do this. But this is the Catholic spiritual tradition of the presence of God. And it is simply a matter of the eyes of your heart being turned towards the Lord. The eyes of your heart being turned towards the Lord. The presence of God then begins to shine out because your heart and your mind are together, and in the way that you look at things, you begin to radiate the Lord. And you're more conscious of His presence within you. Of course, again, the question is how to do this. How do we do this? We have to go back into the sanctuary to turn inward and to call upon the saving name of Jesus. Now, sometimes, of course, there's different ways, of course, to how to do this. One way is to close your eyes and to imagine a road going into your heart, and then in your heart there's a house. And walking into that road, you come to the house and you knock on the door, and the door swings open, and then you say, "Lord, are you in there?" So there's different ways, to meditate if you have trouble doing it, and then just to be silent with the Lord, right? To be quiet with Him. Ephesians chapter 3 speaks of the eyes of the heart, that you may understand the hope of your calling. We have eyes of our body, but your heart also has a pair of eyes. You have the capacity to turn to God, to gaze upon Him, to gaze upon the Father, so to speak. You know that when you're in a conversation with someone, but you have a sense that they're not really present. You ever have that happen to you? Somebody's thinking about something else. They're there. They're talking to you, but they're not really present to you. You know, you can kind of tell what's going on there. What's the difference? When you actually have a conversation with somebody, and then when you're having a conversation with somebody, and they're not really with you. Okay, you can tell the difference. It's some kind of an interior attentiveness, right, that somehow is there. An attentiveness to personally be present to the Lord interiorly. So we have to develop this. We have to practice doing this with the Lord, this interior attentiveness. All of this requires no great mental effort, but rather a frequent, quiet pondering on the simple fact of His presence and the habit of directing our inner conversation to Him as to a friend who is with us, perhaps in the dark. You turn the lights out and have a conversation with somebody, you know what that's like, The effect will be the gradual substitution of God for our own ego as the goal and the center of our thoughts and our aspirations. Glory be to the Father,